Ezekiel was a priest who was taken into captivity with the first wave of captives as Babylon began the takeover of Judah. He prophesied during the entire time of the fall of Judah, with his final prophecy 15 years after the fall of Jerusalem. As a prophet among the captives, God sent Ezekiel to warn the children of Israel about the coming destruction of Jerusalem, to exhort them to repent of the acts that led to their exile, and to encourage them that God had not abandoned his people. The subject of this passage in Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 15 through 28, is the reunification of Israel and Judah under one king of the lineage of David. At the time of this prophecy, the northern tribes of Israel had been in captivity for over 100 years, and the city of Jerusalem had recently been taken. The nation of Israel was no more. Their leaders had failed them. However, God assured his people through Ezekiel that he still cared for them. Ezekiel 34, 11 and 12. For thus says the Lord, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. What did the future hold for the children of Israel? How could this deeply divided people become a nation once more? Who could they trust to lead them? The division of Israel began in the time of David's grandson Rehoboam. King Rehoboam declared that he would make the taxes and required service to the king more onerous than his father Solomon. 1 Kings 12, 13 and 14. Then the king answered the people roughly and rejected the advice which the elders had given him. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges." According to Jewish tradition, Jeremiah, a contemporary of Ezekiel, wrote the book of Kings. He recorded that the rebellion against the house of David continued after the fall of the northern tribes and was still evident as the kingdom of Judah was taken captive. 1 Kings 12:19. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. The division between Israel and Judah was still evident even after both the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah had gone into captivity. The situation must have seemed as bleak as it did for Jacob's sons when famine struck the promised land in the Torah portion that corresponds to this passage. Judah and his other brothers had sold their brother Joseph into slavery, dividing the family. God used the famine to reunite the brothers. How would God use the exile of the children of Israel to reunite Israel and Judah? This is the subject of Ezekiel's prophecy in this passage. Ezekiel 37, 15 and 16. Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "As for you, son of man, take a stick for yourself and write on it, for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write on it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions." Even though the two nations were split, God saw them both as being part of Israel. Judah's companions are described as the children of Israel, while Ephraim's companions are described as the house of Israel. The word companion is translated from the Hebrew word chaber, number 2270 in Strong's Concordance, meaning an associate. It comes from the word chabar, number 2266, meaning to unite or join. The companions of Judah and Joseph are those who joined with them. What is the difference between the phrase, "the children of Israel, the companions of Judah," and the phrase, "the house of Israel, the companions of Joseph"? Let's go back to the Torah portion in Genesis 44 through 47, where we read about the situation with Joseph and his brothers. Joseph, a child of Israel, was torn away from his family. He lived away from the house established by his father Jacob. Judah and his brothers continued to live in the house of Israel. With the kingdoms of Israel and Judah, however, the roles are reversed. Judah's companions were those torn away from their houses. They consisted of the tribes of Benjamin and Judah, but they also consisted of those of the other tribes who chose to follow the way of righteousness. The Levites were the first to abandon their houses and flee to Judah. 2 Chronicles 11:14. For the Levites left their common lands and their possessions and came to Judah and Jerusalem, for Jeroboam and his sons had rejected them from serving as priests to the Lord. Those who sought to worship God in truth soon followed. 2 Chronicles 11:16. And after the Levites left, those from all the tribes of Israel, such as set their heart to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord God of their fathers. Judah's companions were those who chose to leave their land behind and join themselves to those who continued to follow the worship set up by Moses in the wilderness. Joseph's companions were the established houses of Israel. They are those who chose to join their land and inheritance with the cause of Jeroboam. They pledged the allegiance of their entire households and tribes to the cause of Jeroboam. 1 Kings 12:16. Now when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, "What share have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own house, O David." So Israel departed to their tents. This was not the first time that the house of Israel had rejected David as being their king. After Saul's death, Israel refused to acknowledge David as their king, even though Samuel had already anointed him, and all of Israel knew that he was the anointed king. Only David's own tribe of Judah accepted him as king. 2 Samuel 2:10-11. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and he reigned 2 years. Only the house of Judah followed David, and the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Notice that David is described as the king, even though only Judah accepted him in that position. He ruled from the city of Hebron, whose name comes from the word chabar, which, as we learned, means companion. David's only companions were from his own tribe. The whole house of Israel chose Saul's son, here referred to as Ishbosheth, as king over Israel. The name Ishbosheth, number 378 in Strong's Concordance, means man of shame. However, in 1 Chronicles 8:33, the son of Saul is called Eshbaal, number 792, meaning man of Baal. This wordplay with the name of Saul's son, whom Israel chose over David, emphasizes the shame of the house of Israel. This son of Saul is the man of Baal, and thus the man of shame. Ezekiel refers to the whole house of Israel, those who rebelled against the house of David, as being dry bones without any hope or life in them. Ezekiel 37:11. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, 'Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off.'" The house of Israel had followed the wrong king. Time after time they made the wrong choice. They chose Ishbosheth over David and chose Jeroboam over the house of David. At the time of Ezekiel, Joseph and his companions, the house of Israel, had already gone into captivity. With the exile of Judah, of which Ezekiel was a part, the children of Israel, who had been forced to abandon the houses of their fathers in the northern tribal land, now were torn from the land completely. They were scattered among all the nations as God had spoken through Moses. Ezekiel writes of the time when those of the house of Israel realize that they have no hope and have been cut off from God. At that time, God will restore them. Ezekiel 37:12-14. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. God will bring the house of Israel back to the land and place his spirit in them. This prophecy is both physical and spiritual. He will physically bring them back to the promised land. Those who are spiritually dead will receive life. The dry bones would live again. This can only be attained through acceptance of Yeshua as their Messiah. Yeshua explained that it is only through belief in him, the one sent by the Father, that they would attain everlasting life. John 6:40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Ezekiel goes on to explain that God would once more reunite Judah and Joseph into one nation. God tells Ezekiel to take the two sticks that he had written on and join them together. Ezekiel 37:17. And draw them one to one for yourself into one stick. They shall become for oneness in your hand. Did you notice how many times the word one was used in this verse? The word for one is the Hebrew word ahad, number 259, meaning united as one. There are four uses of the word ahad in this verse. The number four, representing God's sovereignty over creation, indicates that God is joining Joseph and Judah together under his sovereignty. God tells Ezekiel to explain the meaning of the two sticks. Ezekiel 37:19. Say to them, so says the Lord Yehovah, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will put them with him, with the stick of Judah, and will make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. God is the one who will take the stick of Joseph and join it to the stick of Judah. Both sticks are in God's hand. Jacob prophesied that the rightful king would always come from the tribe of Judah. Genesis 49:10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. God will gather the children of Israel who have been in exile scattered throughout the nations and bring them back under one king, the rightful king from the house of David. Ezekiel 37:21-22. Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all. They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. The two kingdoms were formed along lines of faith. Those who sought after God chose to live in the kingdom of Judah under the authority of the kings of the house of David. Those who were fine with worshiping any old god chose to live in the northern kingdom of Israel. When God brings back the children of Israel, it will be to a kingdom that has been cleansed of all their sins. Ezekiel 37:23. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned and will cleanse them. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. There is a Hebrew wordplay evident in this verse with the word translated as dwelling places. The NKJV Study Bible explains, the Hebrew word translated dwelling places is backsliding in other ancient manuscripts. In Hebrew, the two words differ in the placement of one letter. Their dwelling places were places of backsliding. The house of Israel, represented by the stick of Ephraim, chose to dwell in their houses and defile themselves with idols under the leadership of Jeroboam and the kings who followed after him. Every king of the northern kingdom of Israel is described as following after Jeroboam, who caused Israel to sin. The prophet Ahijah describes what would happen to Israel because of Jeroboam's sin. 1 Kings 14:15-16. For the Lord will strike Israel as a reed is shaken in the water. He will uproot Israel from this good land which he gave to their fathers, and will scatter them beyond the river, because they made their wooden images, provoking the Lord to anger. And he will give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who sinned and made Israel sin. When God brings the house of Israel back to the land, they will no longer worship the idols that they worshiped under Jeroboam and the kings who followed after him. The rebellion against the house of David will finally cease. Ezekiel 37:24. David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. When David was king, God said that he would establish David's house forever. 2 Samuel 7:16. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. Instead of dwelling in their sin and shame, they will dwell in the land that God gave to Jacob and the forefathers. Ezekiel 37:25. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob my servant, where your fathers dwelt, and they shall dwell there, their children and their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Once again, we see that David is described as God's servant. This phrase, my servant, is recognized as being a title for Messiah. Luke records the priest Zacharias prophesying about the birth of this servant from the house of David. Luke 1:68-69. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. When God brings Israel back to the land, God will make a covenant of peace with them. Ezekiel 37:26-27. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The establishment of the covenant of peace takes us back to Aaron's grandson, Phinehas, with whom God made the first covenant of peace. God describes Phinehas as being zealous in defending the sanctity of God's house when the children of Israel sinned by worshiping Baal Peor in the camp of Israel at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Numbers 25:10-12. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel, because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. Therefore say, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace. Phinehas destroyed the worship of the false god and returned the camp to purity before God. When God once again makes a covenant of peace with the children of Israel, the camp will be holy to the Lord. The word peace is Numbers 79:65, shalom, meaning safe, well, happy, friendly, peace, prosperity, and overall well-being. Israel will dwell safely, they will be prosperous in their land, and there will be an overall state of well-being. God will set his dwelling place in their midst. When all this happens, the nations will surely know that the Lord is holy and that his holy place is in Israel. Ezekiel 37:28. The nations also will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore. Isaiah tells us that all those who live in Jerusalem at this time will be holy or set apart to God. Isaiah 4:3. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem. It is God alone who can and will heal the deep divide between his people and make them one nation once more. It is God alone who can and will raise up a leader that they can trust to lead them. This leader is the Messiah Yeshua, the son of the house of David. The future is bright for the children of Israel. They will remember God in all the nations where God has scattered them. God will open their eyes and they will recognize their Messiah. Then God will bring them home and Yeshua will reign on the throne of David forever. I'm Brenda Cathcart for Moed Ministries International. Shalom and be blessed.